Hello and welcome to episode 57 of the Inside Elland Road podcast. I'm back after a 2 week break. Apologies for our absence. I was on holiday for part of it. A lot of games in the previous week before that, and a lot of dragging our heels as well, it has to be said. I'm Phil Hay, the YP's chief football writer. With me, as ever, is Joe Urquhart, the YP's Leeds United digital journalist. At the end of a pretty sobering weekend, all in all. And if I told you, Joe, that we hit a badger on the way home from Brentford, would that pretty much sum up the way it went from Friday to Monday?
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that a pheasant flew into the stand at Guiseley last night probably joins that badger, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Just jokes and metaphors.
And sorry to say that both probably have more chance of automatic promotion at the moment than Bielsa's players. We're going to call this episode the playoffs, but I don't think we're quite there yet. And there is still mathematical permutations and possibilities that could open this up again over the weekend. But the reality is, with two games to go, 3 points behind Sheffield United, who play Ipswich at home on Saturday, 6 points behind Norwich, who have a superior goal difference anyway and literally need a point from two games to be certain of going up. It is feeling like the playoffs now, isn't it? And you saw that a little bit, I thought, in the body language on Friday after the Wigan game. I thought you saw it entirely in not only the body language, but also in Bielsa's comments after the game at Brentford on Monday. Do you sense any hope amongst them? Do you feel any hope yourself? Do you think this has got a final twist in it, given that there have been plenty in the last 2 months? Or do you think realistically that it's too much of a blow?
I mean, never say never, but I think it's going to be playoffs, isn't it? Unless, I mean, you're asking what Ipswich Town to go to Bramall Lane, sold out Bramall Lane, when they're going to be completely fired up and they're essentially going to win like 3 points away from securing their Premier League status. So, yeah, I think for me, playoffs, Leeds are going to have to sort of take stock a little bit after this horrible weekend that anyone sort of associated to the football club's had, and just try and get themselves up. Now they've got two games, I think they've got two games to sort of find a bit of mojo, find a bit of form back and try and go into the playoffs with some positivity. It's easy to forget, but they are a great football team on their day and they're one of the best, I believe, in my opinion, in the Championship on their day. So there's no reason there is reason to fear the playoffs because it's a complete lottery, but the teams you're going up against, Leeds have beaten this season. So
I agree with you. They have definitely hit a wall, though, in the last two
Absolutely,
games.
Yeah.
They've hit a wall in terms of their attacking and approach play, to the point where the assurance seems to have gone. You could almost feel the confidence. You could see the confidence draining from the players in the second half against Wigan. And it has become laboured and predictable up front. There have been issues all season with the number of chances they've been converting, with the number of goals they've been scoring in comparison to the possession they've had, although clubs these days tend to go quite big on the expected goals formula, the ratio which tells you whether you're scoring as many goals as you should. And as it happens, Leeds are bang on 1.6 per game, which is what they, according to the statistics, they should be producing. But when you see the dominance and you see how much they control games, as they did against Wigan in particular, you expect more and you expect them to score more often. And defensively, they've gone to pieces as well. Very brittle against Wigan and very nervous against the pace, particularly of Gavin Massey, not great against the physical power of Leon Clark. And a similar story at Brentford. So little of the ball Brentford had, particularly at the start of the second half, but their second goal was surgical, straight through the middle. Great little bit of interplay between Watkins, Mope and Canos, and Canos finishing off with a lovely chip. And I couldn't help feeling that on the day and over the Easter weekend, that was the difference, really. That was what other clubs were doing to Leeds, and that was what Leeds were incapable of doing to them, for all that they had the ball and for all that they were dominant in large periods. And over the course of the season, hugely impressed with what Bielsa has done, hugely impressed with the way they play. But I think we'd be blinding ourselves or ignoring the reality, really, wouldn't we, if we didn't say that they have had a very, very serious wobble over Easter, and it's going to be a big challenge to right this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to the not just the mental aspect of it's the going to be the biggest problem. Obviously, people have started throwing the whole Bielsa burnout thought process at it, and I think we both know that it's probably not quite the case. But I think the mental aspect is going to be the biggest problem, isn't it? The fact that maybe they've blocked out the playoffs from their mind. But the beauty of this division is that is the fallback. They've got a second bite at the cherry, and that's got to be the way that the attitude goes through the squad. whether Bielsa can get them up. I think the one positive that maybe about the wobble coming now, I mean, very loose positive, but you've got two games before the playoffs. This hasn't happened on the last day of the season. If this had happened at Ipswich, you'd be seriously worried about going to a first leg, wouldn't you? But they've got two games to try and get some mojo back, try and get that form. Maybe Bielsa can have a bit of a switch around with some players, some personnel, and see what he can get out of them in the next two games. Obviously, a big test.
It's not his way, though, is it?
No, absolutely not. But
it was quite strange to see Calvin Phillips dropped at Brentford and Adam Forshall brought into the midfield, because Bielsa tweaks his tactics in terms of the sort of regular or I guess a bit more occasional, but the switch from 4-1-4-1 to the 3-3-1-3 that he likes to play, but usually with the same players and very rarely with changes in personnel. This season, really, he took Saez out of the team. He wanted to take Peacock Farrell out of the team earlier and then did when Kiko Casilla came in from Real Madrid. And Adam Forshaw in for Phillips on Easter Monday was a really rare example of a time when Bielsa has looked to different players as opposed to tactical changes or changes of system to switch things around and to negate the opposition. It is all about the tactics for him, isn't it? I was thinking about this earlier in the week. Individual players don't seem to matter to him too much. I think it's valuable to him, obviously, if he has somebody like Pablo Hernandez in the squad, because Hernandez comes up with goals and assists and is constantly good. But I think in Bielsa's head, and the reason he blames himself so much for poor results, even when you think that really the blame should lie with the players, is because he thinks that his tactics should be clever enough and good enough to work regardless. If he's got players in his squad that he believes in, regardless of who they are and regardless of their names and whether they're superstars or not, if he thinks that they're skilled enough and trained enough to play in the positions, he's happy and content. And he pretty much puts everything on him. He puts everything in on his tactics. And it was strange because against Wigan and against Brentford, they were games where the process just didn't work for him, and they were games where actually you really did need one player to come up with something very, very special at key moments when Leeds were desperate for something. And it hasn't happened, and it does leave them backed into a corner now. And really, unless something spectacular goes on this weekend, 2 weeks to clear their heads before it gets serious again.
Yeah, well, I think we all know, aren't they? They're cogs in the machine, aren't they? That's how Bielsa views them. It doesn't matter what your standing is in the squad. As we saw last night, obviously Calvin Phillips going from Brentford straight into the under-23s, which was, I don't know if it was surprising, because we've seen Bielsa do this all season, but maybe the timing of, because obviously there's a big game coming up at the weekend, we're not sure whether it'll go Forshaw or Phillips again, kind of leans towards going with Forshaw again, doesn't it, against Villa. So another strange move, I guess you'd maybe say, because it's also a bit unfair on the lads that have got the under-23s to the Premier League Cup semi-final in my eyes. But
yeah,
hey-ho, it is what it is.
I think that's a fair point. It will be interesting with Phillips against Villa, because the explanation for leaving him out against Brentford, and I thought it was a big call and a strange call, was that Brentford play with a front three of Canos and Watkins out wide, and Maupay, who really was excellent on Monday, and I thought a total contrast to the way Patrick Bamford played. Maupay on his own up front, and they don't really have a number 10 as such. They don't really have too much in the way of central attacking midfielders who cause damage in that area. And he felt that Forshaw, a bit more mobile, more dynamic, was the word he used, although I'm not sure I totally agree with that, but we'd be better at covering out wide, be better at getting across the pitch to make sure that Brentford didn't attack where they were strong. Be totally different against Villa, because you've got, they play with one up front, but you've got Grealish in the centre, you've got John McGinn in the centre, both of them very mobile, very rangy, and are going to cause problems. So you would think that Phillips would come back into the team. It clearly didn't work particularly well at Brentford, and on that basis alone there's an argument for it. And I don't know, you Bielsa just goes with his way of thinking, and we said right from the start that there was never any point in arguing with, or telling him he was wrong, or arguing with what he was doing, because he sticks to the programme and he goes with it. But it does seem strange that in literally the last fortnight of the season, you've got somebody like Phillips getting 45 minutes with the 23s. It's how Bielsa likes to keep them sharp, keep them fresh. But there are so few games to go that you would have thought it would have been a case of batten down the hatches, keep everybody together, and let it roll. And instead, you had Berardi involved, you had others involved, you had Izzy Brown, who I'm convinced now is not going to play again. There just seems to be no sign of him coming back in. And I mean, somebody was telling me that they were hammered in training before the Sheffield Wednesday game, which actually was one of their best performances. You know, really, really worked hard in the build-up to that. And no sign of any let off, no thought that it's been a long season and you maybe just need to sort of soften things a bit, maybe just take it a little bit easy on the players. He's going with his way. I respect him a lot for that, and I think there's something to be said for committing to what you think is the right plan. But I think the big challenge for him now, having proven that he is clearly an excellent coach, exceptional coach, he's clearly tactically very clever and very astute, is how much of a motivator he is at a time when things suddenly feel a little desperate, and at a time when you have not much in the way of days or weeks to right the ship again and get everybody together.
Yeah, well, I think that's going to be the difficult thing, isn't it? I think we've seen, I mean, we saw him on the pitch after Brentford, didn't we, shaking all the players' hands. Obviously Pablo was in tears, bless him, as I'm sure some fans were elsewhere. But
which tells you that the players in Bielsa think it's gone, don't they? They evidently know enough football to think that second place is not happening.
Yeah, but you just worry about the mental impact of that, don't you, going into what the playoffs with, which if you're lucky enough to get to final, is three huge games. And but that's what I'm saying about the two game aspect of the having that two games buffer, sort of even 2 weeks in sort of that mental aspect of getting over that and getting yourself back up for those potential three games. I think it's gonna have to come from within, looking at the squad. I think someone, maybe Cooper, because he's a captain, we've seen him show it. Obviously Bielsa's lauded his captain skills. I think someone's gonna have to get them all together and just try and rally the troops almost again. I think if you get someone like Derby in the playoffs, maybe that'll get a bit of a siege mentality again after the whole Spygate saga. But something's going to have to spark the fire, isn't it, again? And whether Bielsa's that man, who knows? Hopefully he is. But looking at it from the outside, looking in, like you say, it doesn't look like maybe he's that kind of coach.
It's possibly the one area where Sheffield United have the advantage with Chris Wilder. He is a kind of natural motivator. He's also been with this squad when they've done it before, albeit in a lower division. But you would think that at the very least they would feel confident of finishing it off this season on the basis that they have already in a previous division and previous season, but with the same manager and with a lot of the same players.
I'm sure also a lot of people will be saying, well, they're playing for Leeds United, you've got a chance to get to the Premier League, why should you need motivation? That's all the motivation you need. But it's just having the mental impact of having this goal in your head and all season thinking we're going to achieve it, and then at the last second faltering is the big proof, isn't it? That's the issue.
There's a difference though, isn't there, between motivation and psychological pressure.
Yeah, no,
and I asked Bielsa after the Wigan game, how are you going to lift these players quickly for Monday, given that they did all look pretty devastated on the pitch, less so than they did after the Brentford defeat? But you could see in the body language that hit really hard, and we'll have a good chat about that game shortly, but the circumstances, I think, were very hard to take it at the end of the game. And he answered that by saying, we don't lack motivation, this team doesn't lack motivation. And at no stage would I ever have questioned the motivation of the players, but I would certainly question what's going on in their heads at the moment. And he said he didn't think they'd been affected by pressure, particularly in either game or at any stage of the season. I honestly felt against Wigan that you could see it getting to them. I did. And then again at Brentford in the second half, there wasn't the same clarity of thought. There wasn't the same assurance on the ball. Passes going astray, simple passes going astray. I guess just not the same conviction in the football that you saw in Brentford's second goal, which was when they got the ball and they had space to attack, they did. And it was like a knife through butter. But with Leeds, there just seemed to be that growing doubt that it wasn't happening, it didn't look likely to happen, and that it was going to cost them dearly, because they'll have known at Brentford that Sheffield United had already trounced Hull early in the day.
Yeah, it's the first time we've really seen them freeze though this season, isn't it? And it's just the most important stage of the campaign. And I'm probably like you, I think we were talking a bit before, but we felt that Friday was actually the pivotal game. It wasn't Monday. I think a lot of people will have felt worse after Friday than they would have Monday night. I think Monday was just confirmation of what we were sort of expect was coming. I mean, we talked about it before, but it reminded me of the England v Iceland game. Took an early lead and then just completely frozen against a team that they really should have on paper. You think, right, I mean, even Paul Cook said afterwards, didn't he? Once the sending off comes and the goal, they're thinking, we need to keep this down now, because obviously the goal difference might be a problem in the relegation battle. As it turns out, an hour later he's celebrating a win. So it's quite remarkable, just the hallmarks of that England game sort of came out in that Leeds game. I felt just the freezing of pressure in that situation, just almost forgetting how to play football.
Yeah.
Hernandez
has carried this team at times this season, completely frozen. If you don't have him, someone else needs to step up. But there's just so many off days and so many that didn't want to take responsibility of just having a shot at the end, and just a lot of breakdown in communication. And Alioski passed the ball, what, 3-4 times out of play towards the end.
Well, I think that last one, injury time, that pass towards Harrison, which went straight out over the goal line, it got to the point where it felt as if Alioski didn't want to shoot because the crowd were sick of seeing the ball going into the south stand, didn't particularly want to cross because nobody was hitting the Leeds player, and then by the end was struggling to pass the ball confidently as well. A good comparison with the England game, it was very much like that, and very much a game where you're thinking somebody needs to do something here, otherwise this just isn't going to happen. And I think the game it made me think of was Wolves at home in the Gary Monk season, Easter Monday. And it has to be said that Easter is, generally speaking, not a great time for Leeds. I've seen an awful lot of seasons, Simon Grayson's year in the Championship, Gary Monk's as well, go sour and go south over Easter. The sort of different case being the season when Leeds went up from League One, where they won away at Yeovil on Easter Monday in a game that they desperately needed to win after, I think it was 4 straight defeats. It really was coming apart at the seams at that point, and Richard Naylor scored twice down there. But Easter's not generally been a good time for them, and Wolves at home when Monk was manager, that was another day where everybody seemed to freeze, everybody seemed to struggle to do the basics, because it felt as if it was getting into their heads that they were that close, that they had a chance, a real chance then to get into the playoffs, and suddenly it all went, you know, all fell apart. I mean, it's hard to sort of remember this now, but Wigan obviously lost Keeper to a red card after 14 minutes, and Hernandez missed the penalty. And there's a definite issue, I think, with who is taking penalties when Kamal Roof is not on the pitch, because nobody seems to have an awful lot of confidence about sticking them away. And it does seem to be decided by a committee under a head coach who has virtually everything else, you know, down to a T, nailed down about what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. With penalties, it's a bit more of a free-for-all. But Patrick Bamford scores after 17 minutes, and we were like Paul Cook, really. You thought, well, actually, this is a really good opportunity to claw back a bit of goal difference of Sheffield United. And what happened?
What happened?
Do you think the key issue in that game was that the players were too casual in the first half at 1-0 up? Were the players too casual and not decisive enough at a stage where they could really have got at Wigan and killed them
off? The only time they could have added to their lead, I thought, was that Roberts volley that was headed away off the line. Was it Cal Naismith, I think, headed away? That was the only thing I can think of where you thought that if that goes in, maybe that completely kills the game. And to be honest, at 1-0, the game should have been killed anyway. But they were very sort of, I don't know what the word is, but just passive, maybe. And, you know, usually you're thinking Bielsa team in the final third, clinical sort of precision passing, but they're just so passive, and it was almost like they thought, it doesn't really matter if we get a second because we've won this game,
or it doesn't really matter if we get one quickly because it'll come eventually.
And just that attitude, and obviously the timing of the goal just before half time for Wigan was perfect for them, wasn't it? Because they could get in and then sort out what they were going to do defensively for 10. And I don't even know what happened for the goal. Alioski was just on his arse, and then Massey just ran through and fired
nobody,
into
nobody
net.
Watching like, the passes through the middle,
like,
and
all of a sudden it was just like, what? It's 1-1. And I think even the Wigan fans were just like, how the heck have we scored? And that's how it felt. And then after that, it's hard to put into words, isn't it?
I said to you about, and I don't often get much right.
Oh God, this is awful.
I shouldn't admit to this, but I said to you about 2 minutes before Massey scored Wigan's second, I can honestly see them winning this because they look dangerous when they go forward. Leeds, every time they go forward, seem to be exchanging a multitude of passes back and forward around the box without looking like they're going to score at all. And Massey's second goal was every bit as simple as the first. I mean, his pace was a nightmare for the defence. Janssen and Berardi really struggled against that. And that is the one thing that always causes this Leeds team problems, and that was why I was worried about, I thought they'd win against Wigan, I didn't think that would be an issue, but that was why I was worried about Brentford away, was because never had a good record there, never played particularly well there, and have always suffered against Brentford teams who have pace and purpose, which Brentford teams generally tend to do, particularly at Griffin Park. They play with pace, they play with the ball on the ground, and I thought that would be a problem. But the pace of Massey was a real nightmare, and also the physicality of Leon Clark, who did his old club Sheffield United a great turn against Janssen and Berardi was an issue and did unsettle the defence. And as I say, you could feel it slipping away, really, couldn't you? And you could feel the players sensing that it was going to slip away. Massive result for Wigan, and they did need that because they were in trouble. But they'd had one win away from home since August. They'd lost to 16 teams away from home, 7 points before coming to Elland Road. Somebody said to me on the way out, that is the definition of the most Leeds thing ever, really, to lose to a side like that.
Yeah, I mean, why do you just? It's so hard to even start to understand, because everything that you do before points towards a Leeds victory, and then you get a sending off that probably wasn't a sending off. It hit his midriff, and then you miss a penalty, but you get a goal 2 minutes later, and you think, right, like you said there, let's add to the goal difference. Let's try and claw some goal difference back. And almost that attitude was almost complacent, wasn't it? And that sort of deflected onto the players, and just as soon as they scored the second, you just knew that Leeds weren't going to get back into it because of the way the afternoon had gone, and mentally they looked shot, and obviously just transferred into the Brentford game, and I'm almost lost for words. But it's just that defeat hurt, I think, a lot more on Friday for this squad than Monday's did.
If we go back to the early part of the season, real start of the season, when we were talking to Bielsa about the size of his squad, and I asked him at one point whether he had enough players, given that most managers in the Championship prefer to go with a much bigger pool because of the number of games, because of how tightly packed the games can be, you know, two over Easter, two over Christmas, very little in the way of breathing space. And he said, no, I'll go with essentially 18 core first team players and then top it up with under 23s. And he said at the time, he said, it might be that I'm wrong, and you know, we'll find out in time, but that's my idea, that's my plan, and that's what I'm going to do. Do you think that and the recruitment is starting to catch up with them now, in the sense that, as much as I said earlier that Bielsa doesn't tend to focus on individual players, and he doesn't tend to think that if I take one player out of the team and stick somebody else in, that will cure 100 ills. He tends to see it as one big tactical plan that should work regardless of who the 11 are, provided that he likes all 11 players. Is he suffering on the basis that Matthijs Kleek has not had a great second half of the season, I don't think. Hasn't really shown. It's been good, it's been fine, it's been okay in the centre of midfield, but I think since Saez is gone and since the midfield has become a little bit more congested and he's probably had a bit more attention on him, hasn't really shown in a game, with the exception of Rotherham, for a long, long time. Jack Harrison not doing enough consistently for me on the left hand side. Does he have the players who he could use to resolve those areas? The proven players who he knows he can trust and who will definitely do it at this level? Because I don't kind of feel that he does. And the squad are on 82 points, so let's not pretend that they've not been terrific. I mean, it has been a fantastic season to date, and the 22 points better off already than they were in the Championship last season, which says it all, and I think that's a massive feather in Bielsa's cap. But on days like Friday, on days like Monday, when you just need something from somebody, I'm not convinced it's there in depth, and I wonder whether that is going to be a problem for them.
Yeah, well, I think, firstly, you'd throw someone of Daniel James's ability into this squad and it immediately improves it, doesn't it? I think
it potentially improves it. I mean, it's all hypothetical, isn't it?
No, absolutely, but I think
he has the pace and he has the craft that has been missing
That was a really unlucky saga, that, wasn't it? Obviously, Hugh Jenkins took it upon himself, but I think it's a mixture. I think if you added someone of his quality in January, but also I think the drop-off in form of too many players in the second half of the season. I mean, even to the extent of Jack Clarke, who's understandably lost a bit of form coming off the bench after his collapse at Middlesbrough, Bielsa was getting performances from him off the bench, where now we're just not seeing the same impact. Jack Harrison's been patchy. Click, like you say, hasn't had the same amount of output in terms of goals or assists as he did in the first 4 or 5 months of the season. I think it's just a collective drop in form from too many players, but whether they were playing above and beyond themselves in the first half of the season, I'm not sure, or whether it's just they've been found out a little bit by teams.
Well, he almost said that, didn't he, at Brentford? He said afterwards, you know, that we were talking about the pressure and whether the pressure had got to them, and he said, no, on the contrary, I think they've dealt with the pressure really well, because they've hidden a lot of limits. He said they've hidden massive limits, which seemed to be his way of saying they have overachieved, considering the way they played last season, considering who they are, I guess the ability that he, the sort of raw ability that he actually has in the squad, he felt that they've punched above their weight. And I think if you're going to be objective about this, you have to agree. I mean, we all said, we predicted at the start of the season, didn't we? We thought they would finish 9th or 10th because we hadn't seen enough in the way of changes to the squad, to a squad that had really struggled to be in the mix last season. And he's confounded that by taking them very, very close to finishing second, and may yet finish second. They still have that kind of slender possibility, but will 100% be in the playoffs. But he has elevated them, and it was always, I guess, that risk that it might be in the end that his coaching ability and his nous alone wasn't enough to get them there in terms of the top two, and looks like it might not be.
It's also easy to forget the amount of injuries that they've had as well this season, and the fact that they've managed that absolutely brilliantly sort of throughout the whole campaign. And I don't think it's sort of an element of that catching up to them. I just think, like we say, the last couple of games, maybe there's a mental aspect to it, but maybe the drop off in form of certain players. Hernandez is one that's just taken the league by storm this year. We've said it before and we say it again, how he's not in the EFL team of the year, we'll never know. One of life's mysteries, I'm sure. But just, it does feel like maybe a collective drop off in form at the wrong time for too many of the players when you needed them most. Bamford, and obviously great goal scoring record, but has missed too many chances at this stage of season.
But also, I think if you're being fair to Bamford, you have to say that having missed 4 or 5 months of the season, it's no basis
then
for
losing Roof in mid-February for the 2 months is also a big impact, because you lose another cog in the machine, so to speak, as Bielsa would describe it, a player that's provided 14 goals. All right, he hadn't been in the best of form before that, but he gives you another. He fit, like we said before, he fits into Bielsa's system probably a little bit better than Bamford does up top, and he gives you a different dynamic and a route into the attack, doesn't he? So just a collective thing, like we say. There's loads of collective reasons for it, and saying that it's Bielsa burnout is a massive, it's bullshit.
Oh, not at all. No, I don't.
I honestly don't think you can
apply that at all with two games of the season to play. Although it's quite interesting to see that Sheffield United have lost 2 games since Boxing Day. Leeds have lost 9. So there is no doubt that the first half of this season under Bielsa was at a level above the second half in general, even though you could say that some of the best performances of the season, particularly West Brom, Derby at home, Sheffield Wednesday at home, have come in this period. You're right about Roof. He hasn't looked sharp since he's come back, but again, you wonder whether in different circumstances whether he'd have rushed himself back quite as quickly from that sort of injury as he did. We've lost Alioski this week. He's gone for surgery after tearing meniscus in one knee. He's out for 8 weeks, so won't play in the last 2 games, won't be involved in the playoffs. That does kind of leave Bielsa without a recognised left back. Barry Douglas already out for the season after knee surgery of his own. So you would think Stuart Dallas, or knowing the way Bielsa works, you would think Stuart Dallas in there, or Gaetano Berardi for Villa on Sunday. And obviously Tom Pearce out on loan at Scunthorpe, not an option either. Just to go over Brentford a little bit, they should have had a penalty in the first half.
Yeah,
early on. No doubt at all that was a foul by Jean Vier on Bamford. It looked pretty clear at the time, although there are pillars at Griffin Park in front of you, so we didn't have a great view. But it seemed like there was contact, and you could tell there was no contact with the ball. And the replays made it very clear. And it was one of those odd situations where if it's not a penalty, it's a yellow card for diving. Surely it can't be neither.
In Bamford shoes, why would you throw yourself on the floor when you're allowed to wrap your foot around
absolutely.
It?
So, poor decision by Keith Stroud. But the reaction to that sort of moment, and Bielsa is entitled to be very frustrated about that, and I do think it's very impressive the way that he sticks to the line of, I'm not going to criticise referees at all, even in circumstances like that. And he said exactly the same after the game. Right to be aggrieved by that, but the reaction to that, or the ability in the last 2 games to build on the periods of dominance, just hasn't been there, really, has it? And it's almost as if they can play and they can be in the game for so long, and then it starts to regress, and eventually they expose themselves. And that, I think, has been the story. Aside from missing chances, that has been the story of the Easter weekend, and that's what's done the damage.
Yeah, I mean, Brentford in particular, they were on top, weren't they, for the first 20 minutes, and that was when, and we've said it all season, but that's when you've got to strike and you've got to get ahead in the game and make the opposition start chasing it, and they didn't do that again, and that's been the Achilles heel of this team, not clinical enough, Roberts had a glorious chance, heavy touch, takes away even after they equalised, had another glorious chance, Bamford had a couple, and it's just that clinical edge to this team. They create enough chances, but they've just not had someone on occasion to put the ball in the back of the net enough. And I actually think it comes down to not having enough from midfield. I think they're behind Bamford and Roof. I think you look at most of the teams that are up there, it's a collective effort of goals, barring, you know, I mean, well, even Sheffield United, you've got, what was it, 30, 40 goals from Sharp and McGoldrick. You've got, what, 14 from Roof and 9 from Bamford. But I think, like, Click's goals have dried up, so you're missing 4 or 5 there. Just not had enough collectively from the two wingers as well. I mean, not Hernandez, but I mean Harrison and Alioski earlier in the season, just not enough there. I mean, not enough quality from Harrison in the final third, I think, is
the left side has been an issue right the way through, isn't it? Which I think is why everybody liked the, or saw the appeal of bringing in Dan James, somebody quick, somebody very different.
It's not maybe a knock on Harrison as such as Bielsa's insistence and loyalty in him. At the same time, it's he's his first full season in English football. Let's not forget, you know, being in the side consistently, and he's had flashes of great form and flashes of despairing form, you know, so it's difficult to know. But I just don't think there's been enough output from elsewhere on the pitch as well.
No, and it's that goal from it's that difficult thing as well, isn't it, that in the grand scheme Leeds are not really here to train other people or to bring along other clubs' players, and it has felt, I'd be interested to know how much Harrison feels he's benefited from this season. He'll surely have benefited physically from the number of games he's played. Technically, it doesn't feel like there's been a drastic improvement there, and I think in the loan market particularly, it hasn't paid off for Leeds. We haven't seen anything of Izzy Brown, and probably not going to see anything of Izzy Brown now. Lewis Baker made no impact at all. Jamal Blackman broke his leg. That was unlucky, but his weight was the reason why Bielsa didn't play him from the start. So there were 3 or 4 months where he wasn't involved at all. And Harrison, great attitude. Always committed, always sticks in. But I think to a certain extent, has been a little bit found out in this division. And, I mean, the striking issue and the number of goals is got to be put in the context of the injuries that they've had, because you look at Maupay at Brentford, I think that was his 24th goal of the season. But Maupay hasn't had an injury all year or nothing major to speak of, and has played right the way through. Roof has obviously had a couple of lengthy stints out, Bamford long stretches as well, and I think that as much as anything is the reason why Leeds don't have a 20 goal centre forward, because they have not been able to be in the team for long enough to score 20 goals.
Yeah, 100%, but I'd argue that they've had Roof and Bamford over the season, not at the same time, but they've got over 20 goals from both of them, you know, across when they've been playing. So that's when you need your midfielders, your wingers to pitch in more. And if you didn't have Pablo scoring, what, 12 goals, whatever it is, you've got nothing else, have you? And that's been the problem. Obviously, Cleek scored, what, 5-6 goals by the mid-September, and just not the same output in the last six, seven months. And that's been the problem. I think pitching in from elsewhere has been the biggest issue, in my opinion. I think Roberts maybe could have had a few more. You know, Harrison, we talk about that. Alioski, when he was the forward. But when you're relying on basically your striker that's coming back from injury and Hernandez, and that's it, to create a bit of spark in front of goal, then I think that's just the Achilles heel, and it has been all season.
It's important to say, really, that these deficiencies all relate to the top two as it stands. I mean, the goal scoring is miles beyond what it was last season. It is, I know, it is. If you smashed your phone already, send us your repair bills.
But hey,
send it to we've been relegated to the fourth floor in this building, so send it to the fifth floor, please, and somebody'll pick it up. But no, I mean, the goal scoring is miles beyond what it was last season. As I said earlier, the points tally is vastly improved. The defensive record is better, and the truth is that at the start of the season, people would have been happy with qualifying for the playoffs. Nobody has qualified for the playoffs in the championship at Leeds United since Blackwell in 2006. I mean, it's not quite a generation ago, but it's, you know, it's there are supporters who will be going to Ellen Road now who want Bourne when Blackwell was doing that. So it's been a long, long time since anybody's put them in this position. It's the best season in terms of points since Wilkinson in 1990 in this league. So it has been a massive, massive step forward. But I don't think any of us have contemplated the playoffs at all. I think I said to you about 3 weeks ago, mentally, I haven't given any thought to it, because not because I didn't feel like it was a possibility, but because it hasn't felt like it was coming. It felt like Leeds have always, even the weeks where they've kind of slipped behind Sheffield United, it hasn't taken long to get back in front of them. It's always kind of been there. It's always been kind of there for the taking, and particularly after the Sheffield Wednesday game, and the fact that Blades had conceded in the 95th minute to Millwall, Billy Sharp had been injured, Chris Basham had been injured, John Egan had been sent off. It felt like it felt potentially pivotal. And it's absolutely incredible that 2 weeks on, not even 2 weeks on, we're talking about being 3 points behind Sheffield United and potentially out of it by Sunday morning. And I think that's where the frustration's coming from, isn't it? That you're starting to ask now, are there things they could have done that would have just got them across the line? Or actually, have Norwich and Sheffield United just been so durable and so good themselves that they deserve to be where they are? And quite honestly, they do.
Yeah, I think you look at their form in the second half of the season. You said there, Sheffield United lost twice. That's a phenomenal run from Christmas, isn't it? Under Chris Wilder, and you know, if you producing those results consistently, you deserve to be in the top two. I think what you just said there about the not being prepared mentally from a fan aspect and a reporting aspect, imagine how the players are feeling.
Absolutely.
That's the issue, isn't it, that's going to come from this, is mentally how they prepare for the playoffs. But like I say, the two games they've got coming, need to just press reset now and go in with an attitude. They've played well enough, and they've earned the right for this second bite at the cherry, and that's got to be the attitude of the players now. And The only thing you worry about is someone like Villa or Derby or Bristol City, whoever sneaks in there, is going to have a very different attitude towards these playoff games than Leeds are, who have dropped out from the top two, aren't they?
But there are still clubs in there who are going to be under pressure. I mean, Villa, yeah. The budgetary problems at Villa are no secret. West Brom are pretty much operating on a Premier League budget and are not going to be able to do that forever if they stick around in this league for too long. And one of those two is not going to make it. Derby, I mean, a lot of reports recently about Mel Morris trying to sell up because he's thrown so much money at this over so many seasons that he can no longer do it, and presumably there are some major FFP issues down there as well. So I don't think Leeds are the only team under pressure. I just always feel that in the playoffs, and particularly in the Championship playoffs, all the pressure, or most of the pressure, is going to come on to Leeds because they're the club who haven't been promoted for 15 years. They're this huge side who just cannot get it together, cannot quite get over the line, cannot get themselves, you know, out of this division that they've been stuck in for so long. They're probably the club, you know, all things being equal, who want it most and kind of need it most, really. And it's a high pressure scenario. It really is. And we'll certainly find that if that's the way it goes. Can you see Ipswich stopping Sheffield United on Saturday? Honestly,
no.
I don't think I can either.
I mean, there's always hope, and you saw what Wigan did to Leeds on Good Friday, so there's always that glimmer of hope. But I mean, an already relegated team, what were you saying, the 16 teams have beaten them this season?
So, oh, more than that,
I don't see it. Bramall Lane will be sold out, and yeah, I just think it'll be a one-way traffic, and pressure will tell. But I mean, you're coming back to that aspect of the weight being on Leeds in the playoffs. Yeah, but I think also there's got to be some looking at it with a realistic tint. You've got to back yourself. Look, Leeds are a fantastic team. They've shown they're a fantastic team. All right, they've had a bit of a dip in form, but I think there's no reason why, if they can't find that again and find the shooting boots, that they can beat anyone in the playoffs. They've proven that. They've beaten, I think, every team that could potentially be in the playoffs this season, and well, you know. So just got to try and press the reset button and be confident about it once it becomes reality, I guess.
I don't think there's anybody, with the exception of Villa at the moment, that you wouldn't sort of confidently think Leeds can beat. I wouldn't say I wouldn't be confident against Villa either, but you cannot ignore the fact that they're on a run of 10 wins and have put those 10 wins together so easily. I mean, it's been so fluid for them, and Grealish, since he's come back from injury and had the captaincy, has made himself look what he is, which is the most sort of naturally gifted player in the division, of which I don't... Hernandez, top player, and loads of time for him. I think he's in very much similar ilk, but I think natural talent, Grealish has got it. And Villa is at home on Sunday. The club changed their ticketing arrangements for this game because of the sheer demand for seats. And Angus Kinnear was saying in the programme not so long ago that they could have sold 60,000 for it, which is probably not much of an exaggeration. Everybody wanted to be there because everybody had it in their heads, including us, about what could be happening on Sunday, yeah, about, you know, what, how it could unfold potentially when promotion on the Sunday. You got the whole afternoon, home game, you've got the whole afternoon of everybody on the streets, and
you're gonna make me cry.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna cry. But in saying that, this isn't a dead rubber, is it? Because the players in Bielsa have got to get themselves a shot in the arm from somewhere. And winning away at Ipswich on the last day of the season, assuming that automatic promotion isn't there to be had at that point, is kind of neither here nor there, given that everybody has beaten Ipswich. But to put in a top performance against Villa, to potentially beat Villa, to kind of play in the way that they know they can, would be 100% the right result at the right time. Regardless of whether they can, even if it's done and dusted on Saturday, they've got to play well Sunday, I think, to get back on the horse and get going again.
Yeah, and it's a chance to reunite the feeling with the fans, isn't it, in front of a sold-out Elland Road. I think getting that mentality back and saying, look, this season isn't over, we've had a blow to the stomach, but let's come out fighting. And I think, you know, if they put on a performance against Villa, then maybe it'll start to make the doubters believe again. I think that's the thing, isn't it? Lots of people have written them off already now, because they just think, oh, well, they're going to crash into playoffs and burn after these few results. But again, like we've said in the podcast already, these two games, they need to find some form and find that mojo back and then take some momentum of what they can into the playoffs. And that's what's got to be viewed as, if it's gone by Sunday morning.
It's still there, though, isn't it? It's still there.
100%. And like we say, funny things happen, but it's just the realistic aspect of it that eats away. He just knows that I think Sheffield United will do the business.
It was quite sad sitting on Friday listening to Bielsa saying he's never really got involved in talking about promotion, and I think that the fact that he has in the last couple of games tells you that he knows that the right, that this is the crunch point now, and he knows that automatic in particular is pretty much slipped away, barring something spectacular happening. But it was quite sad sitting listening to him say, as you expect him to, that if we don't get promoted this season, then nobody will remember this season. And I don't agree with that at all. I think we'll remember this season for years and years. It's been an absolute privilege, I think, to watch him work and to watch somebody rely so much on pure coaching, somebody to rely so much on their coaching ability as opposed to their spending power, the budget, to turn what was a team of, you know, not quite misfits, but a team of, I don't want to say no marks either, but just a middle of the road championship team into a team who've been knocking on the door right from the first weekend. And I know it'll kill him if, not literally, but metaphorically, I know it'll kill him if it doesn't happen. He'll feel, I think, desperately sorry for the city and the supporters. But I think they'll feel desperately sorry for him because, you know, people find disappointment hard to take, but I still think most are clever enough and sharp enough to see quality work when they see it, and to see somebody who's pretty much invested his entire self into this season. I will feel incredibly sorry for him, as I will for the club, if it doesn't happen. But to say that this season won't be remembered, I think is entirely wrong. I think it will be remembered, and it will be remembered because of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Marcelo Bielsa at Leeds United. Who would have thought that this time last year? What a remarkable story it's been, regardless of how it ends.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of things that we've listened to him say. I mean, we went into press conferences and you got stories about Hernan Crespo, you've had Spygate, you know, it's just so many intriguing aspects to it. And like you said, I think when we get asked about, has he improved you? I think he has. Like, he makes you think a bit more about the game and the way, like, he makes, you're not just rolling up at a press conference going, what's your attitude this week? You know, you're actually trying to ask engaging questions, because he'll look at you like, you know, you've shot his dog if you ask him something stupid.
Mm.
And I think I'll remember it for the rest of whatever I do. And I think a lot of Leeds fans will as well.
Well, on that happy note, let's cross everything for the weekend. You never know what might happen. Some might shine. Ipswich might win at Bramall Lane.
Get on to me, mate. Ipswich.
Leeds might beat Aston Villa. But one way or the other, we'll be back early next week to debrief. We'll have a proper chat about the playoffs, if that's the way it's going, the permutations, the dates and everything else. We'll have raucous chat about automatic promotion if it's back on. But one way or another, try and enjoy the weekend. We'll see you soon. And thanks as ever for listening.